Please turn with me, if you will please, to the book of Genesis. We're going to look into a passage of scripture which perhaps is not generally preached upon or thought about. But I want to try, if I can, to bring to you a message from the Lord. It's Genesis and chapter 11. Genesis and chapter 11. I'm going to read you one or two verses from this chapter and then show you the verse which is our text. Genesis 11 and verse 26. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, and the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son's, Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Let's just have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, once again as we bow in thy sacred and holy presence, we thank thee for the promises of thy word which are yea, and we say amen to every one of them. We thank thee, our gracious God, that thou hast said that if we draw nigh unto thee, thou wilt draw nigh unto us. That if we search for thee with all our heart, we shall find thee. If we seek, we shall find. And tonight, our gracious God, we draw near unto thee, and we pray that thou be pleased to come to us now and bless us and speak to our hearts and lives, so that young and old may be blessed through the preaching of thy word. Hear us then, our God, and be pleased to bless us now, because we ask it in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I want to give you a title. You know, I like to give a verse as a text, and I like to give a title to a message. And the title to this message is simply this: Terah, the halfway Christian. Oh, you say he wasn't in the New Testament. No, he wasn't. But I want to give that title so we can understand. Terah, the halfway Christian. You see, he was like a person who stopped short of the kingdom of God. Go so far, but no further. I wonder if you can imagine in your mind an athlete who's setting out in his race, and he begins the race and he's doing so well. In fact, he's winning the race. He's going ahead and the others are lagging behind him, when suddenly, for no accountable reason, he stops and won't go any further. That's Terah, it seems to me. It seems that he was the original nearly man. We often hear about the nearly man. Well, he was the original nearer man. Now, you'll see, if you look at these scriptures, that the name of Terah dominates from verses 24 to 32. In fact, I think you'll find that his name is mentioned 9 times in those few verses. And then, after that, his name is mentioned in the Bible 4 other times, in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 2, in 1 Chronicles and chapter 1 and verse 26. You turn over the pages into the New Testament, and you'll find him in Acts chapter 7 and verse 4. And then you'll also find him, actually, in Luke chapter 3, in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. How remarkable that this man is mentioned so much. But we remember him, and This is the burden of the message. We remember him as a man not willing to go all the way for God. And that's a challenge for every one of us. It doesn't matter who you are here tonight. You may be a young person, and that's certainly to you. You may be an older person, but are we really willing to go all the way for God? Are we willing to pay the price? Are we willing to do that which is God's will so that his name might be glorified and that we may see the work of God prosper? You know, there are plenty of people in our churches who love the singing, who give in the offering. They pray in the prayer meeting, but they haven't been willing to go all the way for Christ. You know, Frances Ridley Havergal formed a society in her day, and she called the society the All for Jesus People. You may think it's a strange title, but she could see that in the congregations there were lots of people who were not all for Jesus. They were some for Jesus. And so she wanted people to come together saying, I'm all for Jesus. I wonder if we would join that society ourselves tonight. John Bunyan, with all his characters, had some remarkable characters, didn't he? Remember the one that's in Pilgrim's Progress? His name was Pliable. And John Bunyan says, he soon turned back. And then he had another character that you may not remember. His name was Temporary. Temporary. Imagine having that name. But there are lots of people who are temporary Christians. And they are all fired up. And soon the fire goes down. And the ebbs become just ashes and nothing more. You know, D.L. Moody was called Crazy Moody by the people of the world. Crazy Moody. And someone said, why is he called Crazy Moody? And the answer came back, because he's a man given over entirely to the Lord. What a tremendous accolade. A man given over entirely to the Lord. There are three things I want you to consider with me tonight about this man Terah. And they're very simple. We'll put them a different way in a moment, but they're very simple and you can remember these. Terah came to Haran. Terah stayed in Haran. The third is Terah died in Haran. And that's the message. But it's a challenging message to every one of us. Let me, if I can, begin then by speaking to you about his destination. Terah came to Haran. Look at verse 31 and the last part of it. Because it speaks there about Terah taking Abraham and so on. And at the last it says, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. They came to Haran and dwelt there. You know, I want to speak about his destination. But before I say that, let me remind every one of you, whoever you are, you have a destination in life. Isn't it remarkable that God's got a plan for every individual here? But he has. I don't know what the plan for God has for you, but there's a destination for you. He wants you to reach it. He wants you to achieve it. And here's a man, and it says he's left Ur of the Chaldees to go to Canaan. That was his destination. But Terah came to Haran and stayed there. Let me, if I can, begin first by speaking about the situation. Terah came from Ur of the Chaldees. If you read this chapter again, you will see that this chapter is all about the Tower of Babel. And the Tower of Babel really was man's attempt to reach into heaven. And we know ourselves today that any attempt to reach into heaven by man's own effort will always end in confusion. And it did with them, didn't it? And you read it again and you'll see what I mean. But it also led to something else. It led to dispersion. Because all the people that came together at that particular time were now dispersed over the then world, it would seem to me. Terah comes on the scene about 300 to 400 years after the flood. But during those years, man had turned from his godliness and from the fear of God, and he had turned from God entirely and had no time for God at all. But now comes the dispersion. The sons of Japheth went north. The Hamites, they went to Egypt and to Africa and to the Chaldeans. The Shemites, the third tribe there, they went to Babylonia and also to Canaan. Now, Terah, who we are considering, was a Shemite. But he was a Shemite who was living amongst the Hamites. I hope you can follow me when I'm saying this. And he's living in Ur of the Chaldees. We understand that Ur of the Chaldees was a modern city in the Persian Gulf. Probably it was a port. It's not a port today, but it was then. They had a very famous library. When I think about that, I think, how remarkable. They used to write on stone. And they had a library. You imagine going to the library and saying, I want that stone today. It must have been something like that. I don't know. But they had a very famous library, which is quite remarkable. They had a theatre. They had beautiful houses. They had luxuriously living. But they were grossly idolatrous. They worshipped what is called nature worship. They worshipped the moon and they worshipped the stars, and their religious rites was gross indulgence and pure carnal lusts, and that's really what it was. We understand that Terah was an idolater himself. We're told that specifically, aren't we, in the book of Joshua in chapter 24, where it speaks about him being a man who served idols. In fact, it's thought by many that Abraham himself was a man who made idols so that others could buy them and they could worship them. This gives a meaning to the word that we have in Isaiah 51 and verses 1 and 2, where it speaks about Abraham our father, and it speaks about looking to the hole of the pit where he was digged. You imagine the hole of the pit. It was a miserable place, a horrible place, as far as spiritual things are concerned. But you know, the remarkable thing here is, the first Jew was a Gentile. And the first Hebrew was a heathen. But God made his plan work, didn't he? That's the situation. I now want to speak a little bit about the supernatural that came into being. In the account in Acts chapter 7, we have Stephen giving his message before the council. And Stephen speaks to them and says, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. The God of glory. Do you know, there were many appearances to Abraham. And they would take some time to go through them, but how wonderful they were. And each time he saw something else about God. The El Shaddai was one revelation from God, you see. But here's the first. It was the God of glory appeared to Abraham. You know, it's a Jewish tradition that Abraham opposed the evil practices, and he even broke the idols in pieces. And it was because of that the God of glory appeared to him. I don't think that at all, of course. But nevertheless, the Jews actually believe that to this very day. And then there are other people who say, the God of glory actually appeared to Terah, this man that we're thinking about tonight. Once again, that's not true, because the Bible says it was to Abraham, and we stick to what the Bible actually says. But what does this mean, that the God of glory appeared to him? What was it like? Was it like lightning? Was it a voice from heaven? Was it in a dream? Was it in a vision? Was it like Moses and the bush? Was it like Joshua before Jericho? Was it like Solomon experienced in that new temple that he built? Was it like Isaiah experienced when he saw the Lord high and lifted up and his train filled the temple? It seems to me probably it was Christ who appeared to Abraham as the angel of the Lord, and the Shekinah glory appeared when Christ appeared. You see, in the New Testament it says, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. And I think that was when he saw his day, because Christ came to him and the glory of the Lord was seen. Christ was revealed in all his glory to him. That happens to us if we're saved. The day that we're saved, the day that we turn from sin unto righteousness and know what it means to have pardon and forgiveness in our hearts and our lives, we believe that the glory dawns upon our soul and God comes down and reveals himself to us. Now Terah, the man we're thinking about, must have been affected by this. Perhaps he couldn't persuade Abraham. Abraham would come back and say, I've seen the God of glory. And the God of glory has told me that I must go out into the desert. And Terah would say, hold on, let's think about this. And perhaps try to persuade him that this was foolish to do. But in the end he realized he couldn't persuade Abraham at all. And as we say, if you can't beat them, then join them. And that's what Terah did. In this these verses, there are no reluctance by Terah at all. In fact, he listens, he obeys, he has his staff in his hand, he strides out with purpose, and he's leading the family. Although perhaps Abraham was wrong in that. The third thing I just want to consider with you here is this. We've seen the situation and the supernatural element. Now the summons. In chapter 12, you'll notice that it refers back. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now that's quite clear, isn't it? God's call, first of all, was for him to separate. And it's a threefold separation that you have here. It's from a place, thy country, it's from a people, thy kindred, it's from a person, thy father's house. Probably the evil practices is involved in all this separation. But this was God's will for Abraham's life. Abraham, all through his life, was to separate. He had to separate from Ur. He had to separate from his father. He had to separate from Egypt. He had to separate from Lot. He had to separate from Ishmael. And we could go on. But here's a man who's called to a life of separation. And he must obey. Not a popular path to take. Abraham must always be a stranger and a pilgrim. Now Terah, again, I bring him in here, seems keen for this. He seems so keen about this separation that he's prepared to go along with it. More than go along with it, he's going to lead it. And he's going to lead from Ur of the Chaldees to Haran. He's keen to go to Canaan. But then you see there's sacrifice as well. He must give up the land of his birth. He must give up his friends, he must give up his relatives, he must give up his home life. And of course we're called to the same thing. The Christian life isn't just let Jesus come into your heart. The Christian life is to separate ourselves from the world and the flesh and the devil unto the Lord. It means that we must separate ourselves in every way. And there's a sacrifice as well. It's taking up a cross daily and following him. It's dying to self, being crucified with Christ. It's giving up our position sometimes, giving up our pleasures, giving up our possessions. It takes time and even our comforts as well. It's a life of sacrifice, isn't it? But you remember those words that were said by C.T. Studd. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him. Don't you believe that? We should do, shouldn't we? And then you can think of the hardship as well. There were thousands of miles to travel in the sand. My, if we travel on the roads in our cars, we think, oh, I can't do it. But this is walking in the sand. There's no easy task. He has to move the flocks. He has to move the herds. He has to move the tents. He has to move the family. This is hardship. But isn't that what being a Christian is? And faith comes into this as well, doesn't it? It's against human logic to do this. To leave his luxury dwelling, to leave his prosperous business, and to go out into the desert, not knowing whither he went, not knowing where he was going to and what was going to happen. The man's a fool. The man's a fool. The only way he could do it is one day at a time. And the only way he could do it is to trust and obey. For there's no other way. And surely that's the story, you see. And really what I've been doing so far is really just simply painting the picture of what is all here in this chapter 11 of Genesis. But I want to now pass from the destination. And remember, the destination was to go to Canaan, wasn't it? We now pass to his delay. What did we say about Terah? Terah came to Haran. Terah stayed in Haran. And because he stayed in Haran, that was delay. Look again in verse 31 and the last part. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. That's what the Bible says. You know, we understand that the Word of God teaches quite clearly that in our Christian lives, delay can be dangerous. Delay can be devastating. Delay can be defeating. And how many Christians have we seen who have delayed in answering the call of God, who have delayed in consecration, who have delayed doing something that they ought to do? And where are they today? They're back in the world. How sad. Now let's think together. What was the cause of this delay? Well, I have to answer and say, we're not told. We don't know. I don't know why Terah stayed in Haran. Perhaps it was the hardship of the way. They'd already travelled 600 miles to get to Haran. You imagine the trip after living in luxury and then going and living in that sort of way, even in a tent. Perhaps it was the love of Haran coming to a city once again and living in a way that he was used to. Perhaps it was that. Because look at that verse 31 again and the last part of it. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. You know, the word dwelt there in that scripture in Hebrew really means this: to sit down with ease and quiet. To settle down. That's what the word actually means. So you can imagine, can't you, the picture that we have before us. But here's a man who has lost the vision. He should be going to Canaan. But he's lost the vision. Maybe he's turned against God. It's certainly procrastination. He's been putting it off. Perhaps Abraham would come to him and say, Father, we should be going to Canaan. He'd say, well, just wait for another day or two. And then after that, we'll set out. Perhaps there's something else we must do before we could actually go. This was no authorized delay. It's a picture of a halfway Christian. And the sad thing is that in our churches, there are many, many halfway Christians. They set out for Canaan. Because Canaan speaks of blessing. Canaan speaks of of service. Canaan is the place where God wants us. But we only go so far, and we're not willing to go any further whatsoever. All this man started off with convictions, but they've worn off. He started with emotions, but they've passed. He started with desire, but it's been averted. He's got enough religion to make him miserable, but he hasn't got enough to make him joyful. It's like a Christian, saved at the cross, saved through the blood of the Lamb, but not willing to take up the cross and follow him day by day in their lives. Alexandra, called the Great, came across a man with his name, but this man came to him in dishonor. And Alexander said, "Change your name or honor the name." And Christian, "Change the name or honor the name." The cause. But there must be a consideration here. Here is an old man. And perhaps he's too weary to travel. Perhaps we may say he's past it. Perhaps we consider ourselves here tonight, some of us, too old. But then some of you young people may consider yourself too young. Too young. You want to do things, first of all. You want to go places and before you really give everything to Christ. Maybe there's some people here tonight as well who feel too uneducated. I'm not as clever as other people. God can't use me like others. And then there are maybe others here tonight who say, "But I'm too busy already. I'm too busy." Remember how God used Caleb? He was 85. What about Abraham? He's 75. What about David? He's 17 when he meets the Goliath. 17. He's just a young boy. What about Jeremiah? Jeremiah, he says, "I'm just a child." And Gideon, his family was poor in Manasseh, and he was the least in his father's house. He was a nothing and a nobody. And we all make excuses, don't we? But if we're to be Christians at all, we've got to be out and out for Jesus. I remember in my first church in Stratford, in the east end of London, there was a woman who always came to church. She was stone deaf and in those days couldn't be helped in any manner. She never heard anything of the service. And somebody said one day, or communicated with her, and said, "Why do you go to church?" And she said, "A witness." She said, how could she be a witness? She lived in a block of flats. And every Sunday, everybody heard her slam her door. And everybody heard her walking down the steps and out through the flats. And she went to church. And everybody said, "She's gone to church. She's gone to church." What a witness. A tremendous witness. You say that you've got excuses? Are they valid before God? The cause and the consideration. And then the consequences. Listen, the consequences were dire. 25 wasted years. Some will say 15. I'm not going to argue about mathematics. I just want to tell you, look at those years that are wasted. Look at those years that the locusts have eaten. How sad. And look at my life. Look at your life. How many years have we wasted? And how many years are we wasting now? Because we're delaying doing what the will of God really is. In one of my dictionaries, Tira, the very word Tira means delay. And the meaning of Haran means parched. Parched. This family started with good intentions. It had resolutions, but the vows are unfulfilled. The years go by, and now maybe they're living with regrets. They didn't carry straight on There are no more promises from God. There are no more commands from God. There's no revelation from God. There's no blessing from God. There's no communion with God. You see, we lose, don't we, until we fully obey. And the blessing will be delayed. And we will be parched in our souls until we do the will of God fully for God's sake. For him alone. You know, Abraham was conquered not by foes, but he was conquered by compromising friends. Someone has said, it's not the wolves you need to worry about. It's the wolves in sheep's clothing that you need to worry about. Do you remember Ed Kimball? How many of you know who Ed Kimball was? One day the Lord said to him, I want you to go and speak to that young man. He'd gone through the Sunday school and through his Bible class. And the Lord said, go and speak to him about his soul. And he thought, I can't do that. And it's a midweek and he's at work. I can't. You go now. Go now. Go and speak to him. I can't do it. And God said, you've got to do it. And so Ed Kimball went down and he saw him. He was working in a shoe factory. And he went up to him, put his hand on his shoulder, embarrassed by it, and said, he said, I want to speak to you about your soul. And the young man said, I'm glad you're speaking to me about my soul, because I wanted someone to speak to me about my soul so I can get saved. Who was he? D.L. Moody. What if Ed Kimball said no and delayed and delayed and delayed? The consequences are dire. Tonight we've seen the destination, Canaan. We've seen the delay. Oh, how sad. Finally, let me speak to you about his death. His death. He came to Haran, he stayed in Ahan, and he died in Haran. That's the history of this man. It's like the Laodicean church in a certain way. Neither hot nor cold. And because he wasn't hot nor cold, were they hot nor cold, the Lord said, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. What a judgment, spewing out of his mouth. But that's what God is saying to this man. And he was spewed out of his mouth, wasn't he? Look first of all at the place. There are two things that we're told in our verse. First of all, we're told about his age. And also the second thing we're told is about the place of his death. His age actually tells us that he was an old man. But he was the second youngest man who died in this particular chapter, actually. But his death means he was taken out of the way. He was a hindrance. He was an obstacle. And God took him out of the way. Well, listen, wouldn't it be terrible at our death? People say, ah, good, the obstacle's out of the way. We're not obstacles, are we? Because of our disobedience? Because we've done wrong? Are we castaways? That's what it means. Castaways. How sad that would be if that comes to the end. That our work is finished because we're obstacles. The age tells us that. The place tells us this, that he never reached his goal. He had never achieved his objective. He never, never proceeded from this place. He just stayed there. Haran is a place of unfulfilled dreams. It's a place of wasted opportunities. It's a place where you stop short of the fullness of the blessing of the Lord. I wonder if someone's here tonight. But you look back upon your life and God spoke to you. And you know it. And you came to Haran. You're on your way to the blessing. But you're still in Haran. Going to die in Haran? You know, I remember I'm old enough to remember, and some of you are as well, the hundreds of times people tried to climb Everest. And in 1963 it was done. The hundreds of Christians who have come so far never got there. But we need to get there, don't we? We really do. The place. And then the purpose. God's purpose was to raise up a family, to raise up a nation, and one day the Messiah would come through that nation. And now the obstacle is taken out of the way. Abraham must obey, but he's 75. It's the age when most people think about sitting back. He's just beginning. But he's submitting to the will of God. And now he did not stop until he reached his goal. He has dedication. He has stamina. He was no quitter, was he? He takes it on and he does it. He takes the path of faith. He believes God and believes his promises. Oh yes, he has many stumbles. And many people would stumble around him. But he's learnt the lesson. The taste of victory and of triumph is much better than the taste of delay. Did you get that? The taste of victory is much better than the taste of delay. One final last point. We thought of the place and the purpose, the peril. Terah is a warning. Terah in Scripture is a beacon for us to see. There are many warnings in Scripture. Do we take heed of them? David with his look that led to lust. Nebuchadnezzar with his pride and the fall. The rich fool who ignored God and went to hell. Demas who loved this present world and went away from blessing. But Terah stands as high as any one of them. And his warning is a wasted life, an unsatisfied life. You know it, don't you? Only one life. 'Twill soon be past, and only what's done for Jesus will last. What did this man do in Haran? That's right, we don't know, do we? Nothing. But if he'd done something for God, we would have known it. And what about you? Bob Jones, the old Bob Jones Senior, used to say it's better to die for something than to live for nothing. I've told you before about the girl who, in the old days when there were sweet shops, went in with a penny in her hand. And she said, I'll have some of those. And the poor old man got his steps out and got up in the steps and he got the jar down. And just as he did that, she said, oh, no, 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 I think I'll have some of those. So he put it back and came down and put the steps over there, went up. And she did the same thing three times. And he said, listen, young lady, you've got to decide what you want. You've got to decide what you want. Otherwise, I'm not going to do this anymore. She said, well, you don't realise. This penny is the only penny I've got. I've got to be careful with it. And buy the right thing. Listen, you don't have two lives. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Jesus will last.